ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
It's kind of funny. They say, "Are we blind also?" It doesn't come out in the English, but in the Greek, they expected a negative response to their question. Listen again to what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." These guys expected Jesus to say, "Oh, you guys are wonderful. You don't have any sin. You're holy men of God." I don't know. I throw my hands up in the air and go, why would you ever think Jesus would say that about you guys? You knew everything he told you before. You think all of a sudden he's going to go, "You know, I missed it. You guys are really good. You're holy men of God." Well, no. Can you imagine the expressions on their faces? I'm sure they got really angry because they thought of themselves as holy and righteous, as men of God. In fact, the Jewish people thought if anyone would make it into heaven, it would be a scribe and a Pharisee. These were the religious men of God. And Jesus said, "No, you're not going to make it." Warren Wiersbe gives us this insight. He said, "Our Lord's reply was a paradox. If you were blind, you would be better off. But you claim to see, therefore you're guilty. Blindness would at least be an excuse for not knowing what is going on. But they didn't know what was going on. Jesus had performed many miracles, and the religious leaders ignored the evidence to make a right decision. Jesus is the light of the world. The only people who cannot see the light are blind people and those who refuse to look. Those who make themselves blind. The beggar was physically blind and spiritually blind, yet both his eyes and his heart were opened. Why? Because he listened to the word, believed it, obeyed it, and experienced the grace of God. The Pharisees had good physical vision, but they were blind spiritually. Had they listened to the word and sincerely considered the evidence, they too would have believed on Jesus Christ and being born again. In what sense did the Pharisees see? They saw the change in the blind beggar and could not deny that he had been healed. They saw the mighty works that Jesus performed. Even Nicodemus, one of their number, was impressed with the Lord's miracles. If they had examined the evidence with honesty, they would have seen the truth clearly. If any man wills to do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, and you will not come to me that you may have life. That was the problem for these guys. They were so self-deceived, and they shut their eyes to the light, and they remained in their desperate situation. Proverbs 30:12 says, "There's a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness." Again, like I said, people think themselves as being pretty good today. Basically good, but we're told they are not washed from their filthiness. But it can change when you come to Jesus. He cleanses us. He gives us his righteousness. And there are a lot of things that hinder people from coming to the saving faith, but I want to just share quickly three of them. Again, there's probably more. The things that hinder a person from coming to the Lord are religious traditions, preconceived ideas, or forming an opinion beforehand or in advance of the truth, and prejudices, or forming a judgment or opinion that is in opposition to the truth or facts. And these are all real problems. They keep people from saving faith. Religious traditions. Now, again, when we think of religious traditions, we think that they're all evil and bad. That's not necessarily true. There's traditions within the church that are according to what the Bible has to say, and there's nothing wrong with those. It's when you go beyond what the Bible has to say that it gets you in trouble. In Mark 7, verses 6 through 9, Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do.' He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition.'" Think about it. They had chapters on how to wash pots and pans. I don't know. You know, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I think I could figure out how to wash a pot and pan, right? I don't need several chapters to tell me how to do that. But these were the traditions to keep them people holy that they developed. And all that they were doing, they weren't honoring God. It was a life of hypocrisy. And people do that today. They go to church on Sunday, and the rest of the week, they kind of live like the devil, thinking that, you know, they're going to enter into heaven, maybe a little smoking, you know, but they're going to enter in, playing so close to hell, but yeah, no. Maybe holding on to things that are contrary to God's word in that, you know, hey, I was baptized, I'm saved. Well, is that what the Bible says? No. Jesus saves us. Others, it could be any number of sacraments, lighting of candles, whatever. The bottom line is this. Jesus said, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe that I am. You will die in your sins. That's the bottom line. Not the keeping of sacraments. He finished the work. And I'll tell you, as deceiving as this world is, as deceiving as some so-called Christian teachers are today that are taking you away from Jesus, taking you away from his word, here is our plumb line, God's word. If you start moving away from the plumb line, everything else is going to be off. But if you stay focused on that plumb line, you build your life on that plumb line, which is God's word, you're not going to go astray. You're going to be in good shape. And again, you can't earn your way into heaven. And I don't care what people say. Others just think, hey, you know, it's the church I go to. And, you know, does this offend some people? Yeah, tough, I guess. I don't know. People will say, hey, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Calvary Chapelite. I don't even know what that is. That does not get you into heaven. How many of you are card-carrying members of Calvary Chapel? What's wrong with you people? Oh, we don't have cards that we give out to make you a member. How are you a member? You come to Jesus Christ, man. Come to church. You're a member. There are no Lutherans, Baptists, Calvary Chapelites in heaven. There are what? Christians, Christ followers. But you see how we hold on to these things. For the Jews, it was their traditions that they held on to. Paul warned us in Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You know what? Don't be deceived. Do you think that the world is going to have better information for you than what God does? It's not. In fact, look at what the world has spoken of that they keep changing. You know, understand homosexuality was a deviant behavior not that long ago in the psychiatric world. It was a deviant behavior that changed. Let me ask you a question. Has God changed his mind in anything? Because that would be a horrible thing. If God changed, how do we know if it's, you know, may have been true then, but maybe not today if God changed? He says, I am the Lord, I change not. We can trust what he says. Can you imagine, you know, dying and going before the Lord, thinking you know, hey, he asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life, I'm saved. And the Lord goes, didn't you get the memo? I changed it. We don't have to worry about that, guys. Our God is unchanging. And we should be so thankful for that. The philosophies of the world will constantly change, and they'll lead you away from God. They may sound good. They may have some spiritual truth in there, but you know what? God's word is all truth. The other problem is preconceived ideas or forming an opinion beforehand or in advance of the truth. That was these religious leaders, these Jewish religious leaders. They already had preconceived ideas. This is not the Messiah. We've come to the conclusion. We heard about these things. He is not the Messiah. There is no doubt in our minds. He's of the devil, he's a sinner, he's this, he's that, he's not of God. And people do that today. Oh, Jesus can't be the only way. Come on, are you kidding me? I'm a good person. I've developed my own ideas about God and where I'm going and about myself. And they haven't heard all the truth. You know, I told you this before, but, you know, old wives' tales. As a kid, well, I'm probably still gullible today, but as a kid, you know, when your mom tells you something, you believe it. I mean, she's my mom, you know? So Julie and I get married, you know, and we're living out in Arizona, and, it, you know, it's 162 degrees out there. Maybe a little less than that, but you know what I mean. It's really hot. And I refused to drink milk when I was going to go outside and run or do a lot of work. And Julie's like, what's your problem? Why won't you drink milk? Come on, Julie. If you drink milk and you go outside and it's real hot, it's going to curdle in your stomach. What are you laughing at? My mom told me this. And she did the same thing. She was laughing at me. She was like, what is wrong with you? I tried to explain to her, Julie, think about it. It's really hot. You're taking milk into your stomach. It's going to curdle. And then she looks at me with this angelic, well, it was an angelic, but with this, I'm in so much trouble. She looks at me and she goes, your stomach is filled with hydrochloric acid. My mom lied to me. Why would she do that? It's milk. But you see how you believe those things. I mean, I was, what, 20 years old believing that. How do we hold on to things like that? Hold on to God's word. Trust what he says. In fact, Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 through 32, to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It sets you free from all those preconceived ideas you may have. It expels the darkness, this light of God's word. And you grow in the Lord. You're free. The other thing that the religious leaders let get in the way was prejudices, or framing a judgment or opinion that's in opposition to the facts. Think about it. No one's opened the eyes of the blind in the Old Testament. And we're told in the Old Testament that God Almighty is the one who will open the eyes of the blind. And they see this. And not one of them thought, hey, wait a minute. I remember reading that. Maybe he is the one. Jesus in Matthew 22, verses 41 through 46, asked the Pharisees, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him. In that culture, in that society, no one ever called his son Lord. A son would call his dad Lord as a term of respect, and not the other way around. Pretty simple. They all knew that. And Jesus asked them, you know, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? I said, well, the son of David. Good job. He's trying to draw their faith out. And then he says, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? You see, that should have been a red flag to them. Hey, wait a minute. That's true. That's what our scriptures teach. David called him Lord, which means he must be more than just the son of David. Oh, yes, he is the son of God. That's what Paul said in Romans 1, verses 3 through 4. Considering his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Again, Jesus born of the seed of David according to the flesh, but also the son of God by the spirit. The truth was before them, right? Jesus exposed this. This son of David, this Messiah, must be more than just the son of David. He must be Almighty God. He is the Messiah. And what was their response to this truth that was before them? They didn't say anything. They were silent. Why? Because the evidence they wanted to ignore. They couldn't handle the truth. And so they just were silent. They ignored it, even though they knew the right answer to it. And people do it today, all the time. I don't know how any scientist, biologist, chemist, anyone in those fields can deny there is a God. Because you look at the complexity of life, it can't just happen by random chance. It's impossible. The evidence doesn't support it. But they don't want to believe the truth, so they'll ignore the truth. I told you, look at the evolutionary tree, and you will see in there some dotted lines. Those dotted lines mean they have no fossil record of these finds. These are transitional forms. They have no record of them. What do they show in the evolutionary tree? Every life form fully formed like we see today. Just watch National Geographic. They'll tell you, that the shark has not evolved or changed in millions of years. Well, that goes against evolution. Of course it's got to change. Nothing is perfect. I mean, think about it. A shark, to live, has to swim all the time. It has to move to breathe. It can't sleep. Well, that would drive me crazy, wouldn't it? Oh, my gosh. And they do this all the time. You know, bats, millions of years, they haven't changed. They reach perfection. They sleep upside down in a cave. Come on, you know, give me a Holiday Inn or something. But do they evolve to anything else? No. Why? Because bats are bats. We have to be careful that we don't become blinded by religious traditions or preconceived ideas or prejudices. We need to be open to God and His Word and allow Him to teach us the truths of God from the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God teach you these things. You know, we're living in really interesting days, guys. I'm putting it mildly. I mean, have you ever seen so much turmoil and upheaval in the world? You know, we are not getting the full reports of what's going on in the Ukraine. It's devastating. You know, I get reports that the Ukrainians are defeating the Russians. They're getting all these tanks. I think that's false information. From what I see, they're bombing the Ukraine, these soldiers, destroying them. They've got thousands upon thousands Ukrainian soldiers captured. It's not good. The rape, the murder, the kidnapping of children by these Russian soldiers. It's not a good thing. You look at what's going on in the Middle East. They're bombing. Israel is bombing areas in Damascus and Syria to protect its borders. We know what Isaiah says, that Damascus has to be wiped out. It's never happened. Damascus is one of the oldest living cities in the world. It's never been completely destroyed. Has it been captured? Yeah, but it's never been destroyed completely. It's gonna happen. And could it be that from Damascus, Syria, they launch some missile that hits a major target in Israel, causes Israel to launch some major weapons into Damascus to make it like glass? And what do you think that's gonna do? Iran, Russia, Turkey, and these other Muslim nations will come down upon Israel. How close are we? I don't know, but man, right now, things are heating up. Look at the reports that are going on from there. And so many Christians are blind to what's going on. I am so thankful for the nation that I live in. It's the most amazing nation in the world. There's a lot of problems today, and they're getting worse. But it is the most amazing nation in the world. I'm thankful. So we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. It's not about hot dogs and brats and all these other things. It's about remembering the men and women who lost their lives to give us the freedom that we have in this country. I'm so thankful for that. But this isn't my home. My home is heaven. And that doesn't mean, you know, I'm just throwing my hands up in the air, going, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I'm going to stand up for the things of God. Like Nehemiah, you know, fight for your families, your wife, your children, your homes. Fight for these things. But I also know there's this bigger cause, and that's bringing people to Jesus Christ. If we lose sight of our mission, we're in trouble as a people, because now this has become our home, and we don't care about those that are dying and going to hell. Will things get tough? Yeah. But I already know, because God's already warned me of what the days will be like. Are we in that period of time now? I don't know for sure. It sure seems like it, but I'm preparing that it's still going to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years before the Lord returns. Yeah, I want to be prepared for that. But I also know He can come back today. If you don't lose that perspective, you're going to be in trouble. Way back in November 30th, 1991, there was this huge windstorm and caused this huge dust storm and a massive freeway pileup along Interstate 5 in Coalinga, California. 14 people died, dozens were injured. 50-mile-an-hour winds just took the topsoil and blew it all over the place. Visibility was zero. 3 miles of twisted and burning vehicles. some stacked on top of another, sometimes 100 yards off the side of the freeway. They couldn't see where they were going. They were blinded. And I think today people are driving blindly into disaster regarding their spiritual lives because they're rejecting Jesus. For whatever reason, they refuse to admit they're blind, they're sinners separated from God, and that they need Jesus to come and set them free. You know, Spurgeon put it like this. He said, "It's not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It's not our weakness that hinders Christ. It is our supposed light that holds back his hand." That's what was going on with these religious leaders. They thought they were walking in the light. They thought they knew God. They were honoring the Father. And Jesus says, "You're not. You're blind to spiritual things." You know, we still have lighthouses out there today. And they're to warn ships of the danger. And sometimes when there's a fog, it's hard to see the coastline, isn't it? You don't know how close you are. And so the lighthouses were there to warn of the danger. And God has warned us of what's coming, the danger that's coming. And we have the answers for people that are fearful, that are worried, that are concerned about all that's going on. How many people that don't know the Lord are going, "What is happening here? What is going on in our nation? What's going on in this world?" You know, I haven't heard much about the World Health Organization and, you know, what they're doing in regards to controlling 99.6 of the world's population. But that was going on this week. I don't know if any of you heard the reports. What happened? You know, President Joe Biden signed paperwork, I think it was January 18th of this year, saying that we will give our national sovereignty away for matters of medical emergency to the World Health Organization. Now, legally, you can't do that. Legally, we're a sovereign nation. You can't just give away our sovereignty. He doesn't have the power to do that. Our forefathers understood that. But no one knows what our Constitution says anymore. And so they just do this thing behind closed doors. I just found out about this a few weeks ago. This was done on January 18th for this meeting that was taking place this past week. And if it goes through, like I said, 99.6% of the world's population will be under control of the World Health Organization when it comes to health matters, COVID, monkeypox. I don't know if you saw the Facebook post. It had a picture of the monkeys, you know, with all these dots on their faces. And it basically said, you know, "I didn't really believe in monkeypox, but when I saw their face, now I'm a believer." The monkeys. Okay, you got. I'll tell you later. Oh, you get it? It's just a groan. It was that bad. All right. Guys, let's shine brightly. Let's be like those lighthouses that can shine the light out into this world and let people see Jesus. Let's not be a group of people that think we can see and we're not seeing because we've moved away from God. Like these religious, Jewish religious leaders. There's a lot of people that are giving a lot of answers to the world's problems. The tragedy that happened in Texas with all those children. Do you really think it was a gun problem? No, it's a heart problem. Wasn't that long ago that they had gun classes in school? Wasn't that long ago that you could bring guns to school? Yeah, you had to put them in lockers. But you could bring guns to school, and we didn't have any of these problems. What's the difference? It's the heart. It's the heart of man that's changed. Does that mean every one of those kids were Christians that went to those schools? No. But I'll tell you what, Christianity filled this nation, and those biblical principles were played out. Life was important. We've lost sight of that. It's a heart issue. And unless you change the heart of man, nothing's going to change. And we can't do that. Only God can. That's why we bring the gospel message. Remember what Jesus said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Praise God for that. The Son makes us free, the Son of God, and we shall be free indeed. I pray for any that don't know the Lord here, those that sit on the radio or the internet, that your spiritual eyes would be open, that you would come to see Jesus, that see him as the Son of God, Almighty God, who came to save you from your sins. Let your spiritual eyes be open again. And for all of us, let's not forget who Jesus is. Do you think anything gets beyond him? Do you think God is like going, "Wow, I didn't see that coming"? He knows everything, right? Lord, in spite of all this opposition, how do you want to use me? Never forget that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you how you came to this man who was kicked out of the religious institutions of his day, and you brought him to saving faith, and he worshiped you. Lord, I believe, and Lord, I pray for everyone here that they do the same, that they believe in you, that you would bless them and encourage them. For those that don't know you, Lord, draw them to you. And I thank you for the men and women who sacrificed their lives to give us the freedom we have in this country. Thank you, Lord. Be with their families. Be with their friends. Comfort, encourage, draw them to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.